And I'm Tom Rowe in the WGXC newsroom. You're listening to local news for Wednesday, August 19th, 2015. You can go to newsroom.wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here, including links to all the local publications, Twitter feeds, blogs, newspapers, magazines, and more at newsroom.wgxc.org. Kate Seckinger is reporting in the Daily Mail that the Durham Town Board Tuesday, August 18th, voted unanimously to close Catskill Creek to all activities other than fishing for the duration of the summer. The board took the action after learning about the extensive state regulations around maintaining a public beach. The portion of the creek located just across the street from the Durham Town Building was designated by the State Department of Environmental Conservation as the fishing area. The land on the far side of the water belongs to Thor Raxlin. Although the creek has now been placed closed to other swimmers, Raxlin and his family will be able to swim at that location because he owns half the creek. Councilman Jerry Cunningham said, quote, "I think there should be a community committee that might work on this to find a solution. There's enough people, and if they're willing to do it, we might be able to see how we can afford to satisfy some of these state regulations over the winter to see what can be done about it for the future," unquote. Read the full story in the Daily Mail. John Mason is reporting in the Register Star that Hudson Common Council voted Tuesday, August 18th, to contribute $100,000 to the Senior Center project in the former Armory building at 5th and State Streets. The city's donation will be made in two installments, the first half on April 1st, 2016, and the second a year later on April 1st, 2017. The funds will be used to equip the center, assuming the city has taken possession of the space. The resolution approved gives a green light to the city entering into a memoranda of understanding with Galvin Foundation, who the council is giving the $100,000 to. Supervisor Rick Scalera, speaking as a Galvin employee and board member, said, quote, "Nobody has said the city is bound to pay. This is a moral obligation. Because of the loss of the money from the HCDPA," unquote. The Hudson Community Development and Planning Agency had pledged financial support to the project, but retracted that offer after the center turned into a private undertaking under the Galvin Foundation. Contacted after the meeting, Mayor William Hallenbeck Jr. said he was delighted by the news and the council vote. Quote, "Make no mistake," unquote, he said, quote, "the winners here are not the mayor, not the common council. It's our senior citizens who will finally realize a new senior citizens center," unquote. Read the full story in the Register Star. Matthew Hamilton is reporting at Capital Confidential. Governor Andrew Cuomo's announcement Monday, August 17th, the state has created a new emergency response system that local governments will have access to during disasters. The New York response system will give all 62 counties access to the Universal Emergency Management software to help local and state governments coordinate during disaster events. The system is designed to relay incident-specific information, help with local resource requests, and monitor requests and provide information about other relevant incidents in the region. Counties will not have to pay for the system or its mandatory training program. Officials said the new system is more sophisticated than what local governments are currently using, in addition to the emergency management software and the addition of new emergency response vehicles. The New York response system will be supplemented by the New York State Early Warning Weather Detection System. Once complete, that system will use weather protection sites across the state to provide real-time data to the National Weather Service during severe weather events. Read the full story at Capital Confidential, a Times Union blog. Public News Service has a report next about advocates pushing for legislation to curb solitary confinement in New York prisons.
Advocates for people in prison are asking state legislators to pass a bill that would dramatically alter the use of solitary confinement in New York prisons and jails. Last year, the state agreed to settle a lawsuit challenging solitary confinement, creating sentencing guidelines that include ending disciplinary confinement for inmates who are under age 18 or pregnant. But Five Mualim Ak, director of the Incarcerated Nation Corporation, says isolation is especially harmful to prisoners dealing with such issues as mental illness and substance abuse.
There are thousands and thousands of people in New York State suffering from these conditions, and if we allow them to stay even one day in solitary is doing damage.
The Humane Alternatives to Long-Term Solitary Confinement, or HALT, Act would further restrict the use of extreme isolation and create therapeutic and rehabilitative options. The bill currently has 38 co-sponsors in the Assembly and 12 in the Senate. International experts classify prolonged solitary confinement as a form of torture that can cause serious psychological harm. Mualim Ak, who says he spent 5 years in solitary, points out that besides restricting the use of extreme isolation, the HALT Act could help make treatment available to those who need it, and he says there are many.
If you remove these vulnerable populations, it would be two-thirds literally freed up who are in solitary right now, and that will at least reallocate funds to be able to address some of those issues.
Thousands of inmates are being held in solitary confinement in U.S. prisons and jails, some for decades. Federal lawsuits challenging the practice are being litigated in at least 3 states. For Public News Service, I'm Andrea Sears.
The Columbia paper reported that state police are looking for Douglas Fithian, 82, on August 17th, after he was last seen at the Camp Hill Ghent Assisted Living Center along State Route 66 in Columbia County that day around 9 a.m. Staff there discovered his GPS bracelet had been removed and alerted police around 1 p.m. Mr. Fithian is described as a 5'9" white male weighing 142 pounds, last seen wearing black jeans and a long-sleeve plaid shirt. Fithian may suffer from dementia and may be in need of medication. Anyone with information regarding his whereabouts is asked to contact state police at 845-677-7300 or call 911. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. Brian Nearing in the Albany Times-Union reported that Nassau town officials aren't happy with Kinder Morgan, the company trying to put a natural gas pipeline through southern Rensselaer County. Town officials are asking the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to keep open a public comment period set to expire August 31st so they can review a slew of new company documents filed last month. Also on August 14th, Town Supervisor David Fleming wrote to District Attorney Joel Abelov about a possible trespassing claim against Kinder Morgan. Fleming said survey workers from Kinder Morgan reportedly were on private property last week off Reno Road and had told the owner that the town had authorized their visit. Kinder Morgan wants to build a portion of the 30-inch natural gas Northeast Energy Direct pipeline through southern Rensselaer County. The newly released documents include the site plan for a natural gas compressor station on Clark's Chapel Road, a facilities arrangement plan for the station, and, quote, non-jurisdictional facilities, unquote, planned around the state, Fleming reported. Kinder Morgan spokesman Richard Wheatley said the company will, quote, make sure our land representatives know at all times where they are supposed to be working and where they are not allowed to be, unquote. The pipeline is proposed to go through parts of Skodak, Nassau, and Steventown. The original proposal ran farther south through Columbia County and into the Berkshires of Massachusetts, but moved more than 50 miles of the proposed route farther north after increased protests there. The pipeline comes from Wright in Schoharie County through an existing Kinder Morgan right-of-way through Knox, Burn, New Scotland, and Bethlehem, then crosses the Hudson River at Skodak, then follows a National Grid power line right-of-way northeast, south of Burden Lake, and to near the intersection of Routes 43 and 66 at the hamlet of Alps. Then it continues north of Route 43 in Nassau and Steventown for 14 miles before crossing into Massachusetts at Hancock. Read the full story in the Albany Times-Union. Today is Wednesday, August 19th, 2015. That makes it the third Wednesday of the month. There are local public meetings. Catskill has a town board meeting at 6:30 p.m. Columbia County has a Board of Supervisors Human Services Budget Review meeting at 2 p.m. Human Services Committee meeting at 5 p.m., both at the County Office Building, 401 State Street in Hudson. Germantown has a Board of Education meeting at 6:30 p.m. in the Elementary Music Room at the Germantown School. Ghent has a planning board meeting at 7 p.m. at Town Hall. The Greene County public hearing on the 2015-16 Columbia Greene College budget is at 6:25, followed by the regular meeting of the full legislature at 6:30 at the County Office Building, 411 Main Street in Catskill. Hudson, the Zoning Board of Appeals, has public hearings on area variances for 730 Warren Street and 552 Warren Street at 6 p.m. A full ZBA meeting is at 6:30 p.m. at City Hall, 520 Warren Street in Hudson. Stuyvesant, the Zoning Revision Committee, meets at 7 p.m. at the Town Hall. Taconic, there's a town meeting at 7 p.m. at Town Hall, and the Taconic Hills Board of Education meets at 6:30 p.m. at the Central Office Boardroom, 73 County Road 11A in Craryville. All this and more is at newsroom.wgxc.org.